Hey, Prime members, did you know that you could be listening to this show ad-free on Amazon Music? With Amazon Music, you get access to the most ad-free top podcasts. Avoid the ads and start listening today.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, June 5th. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. Personal finance apps are growing in popularity, but sharing your financial information with any app comes with risks. We'll talk about some ways you can protect yourself with WSJ contributor Tomio Jaron. Plus, New York plans to prohibit social media companies from using algorithms to steer content to minors, unless given permission by a parent or guardian. Reporter Jimmy Vielkind will tell us more about the state's new proposed legislation. But first, the more apps you use, the higher the risk of hacks and data leaks. So what does this mean for consumers who are increasingly using personal finance apps to manage their money? Here to discuss that is Tomio Jaron, who wrote about this for The Wall Street Journal. Tomio, finance apps aren't particularly vulnerable to hacking. Any app could get hacked or breached. But a hack on a finance app could give bad actors easy access to your funds. So let's talk about ways you can keep yourself safe. Starting with the very first step, when downloading a new finance app, what can you do to make sure the app itself is safe to use?
First, make sure that the app you use has policies in place that protect you, both in terms of security and privacy. And it's important to get the app from the App Store or the Play Store and make sure it's the real app from the official company. There's a lot of copycat apps out there. Don't download an app from a random link sent to you or from a random website. If you're going to download it from the website, make sure it's from the official company website.
These companies could share your data with a third party. How can you protect your privacy there?
There are a lot of companies that share your data with partners who use it for things like marketing or other business practices for the company. And it's protected in terms of it's private, it's secure, things like that. But those third-party companies, a lot of times, may not have as good security practices as the original company you signed up for. One challenge is that the companies don't necessarily list all of their partners on their website. Some of them will, but not all of them do.
Okay, so then you've downloaded the app. Now you have to set up an account. Let's take a minute to talk about login credentials. What's the advice there?
Security experts all say, ideally, you want to use two-factor authentication, passkeys, which are a type of software on your phone. Companies like Google and some others have these, where you essentially authenticate your identity through your Google app or your other app. Another thing that companies offer is hardware security keys. So these are a physical device that you would plug into your computer or your phone. And so no one else can log into your account except the person who has that physical device. That's probably the most secure measure you can take.
Are regulators taking any steps to protect people's data?
Yeah. So the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has been working on these rules for several years. It's called Section 1033. These new rules would regulate how financial institutions handle your data. You can already request that a company delete your data, but this would make it required that they do it if you request it. So right now, there's no formal rules about it. It's more just you can do it, but it might not happen. The CFPB thinks this would also increase competition because potentially, if a company is bad, you can request, hey, transfer my data to another company. They're a better company. They charge less. So this would increase competition, whereas now it's harder to transfer your data. So it locks you in. So this is seen as a way of helping consumers.
All right, that was WSJ contributor Tomio Jaron. Coming up, teens in New York could get the old school Facebook back. We'll explain after the break.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet. oracle.com/wallstreet.
The state of New York is set to restrict the use of social media algorithms steering content to children and teens. Under new legislation, tech companies would need to get parental consent to serve automated feeds and late-night notifications to minors. The bill is still being completed, but expected to be voted on this week. Here to tell us more about it is our reporter, Jimmy Vielkind. He's at the State Capitol building in Albany. Jimmy, give us a quick rundown of the legislation.
Well, the legislation, which was formally introduced late Monday night, would, as you said, require parental consent for minors to use algorithm-based social media feeds. The bill's sponsor, Andrew Grunardis, explained that this would take Facebook back to when he was in college, where you or any young user could choose whomever they wanted to follow, but the content that they are served would only be from those specific users, and it would appear in a chronological feed. There wouldn't be any recommended content, or if you clicked on something about the Yankees, you wouldn't then get anti-Red Sox content, or you wouldn't for some reason get Mets content based on your original interest. And the thinking behind this, according to Grunardis, Assemblywoman Nili Razek, and Governor Kathy Hochul, who has been a big supporter of this legislation, is that it will make social media feeds for teenagers less addictive.
And why is New York pushing this now?
Multiple states have moved forward in the last few years with pushes to regulate social media as they see an increase in mental health distress among young people. Governor Hochul has been quite clear that she is doing this in response to concerns from parents, from educators, as well as from some teens themselves. So what New York is doing is trying a new approach to regulation, as other states have tried legislative efforts that would ban social media for people under a certain age or require parental consent for use of any social media. Those laws have been blocked by federal courts over time. New York lawmakers say that by not restricting content, but by regulating the delivery mechanisms, they feel they will pass First Amendment tests that other states have failed. Now, of course, companies have a very different view of this. They say that this is still raising major constitutional flags. They say that it's going to be almost impossible to verify the age of users to establish that parental consent as it exists under the legislation. And they also say that this is not a holistic solution to use of social media by teenagers. They say that things like increasing media literacy and taking other actions would be a better step forward to address the problems that politicians are articulating. They also, of course, point to the many benefits of using social media.
There are also groups who are generally against the bill. Can you tell us who they are and why they're against it?
There have been some groups that are not necessarily aligned with tech companies that have raised concerns. In New York, we saw some groups that advocate for LGBTQ youth expressing worry that if you restrict the way social media content can be presented to someone, it would block them from content that could be very helpful. And it could restrict their access to communities that could be supportive. That is something that lawmakers said that they considered and have addressed by allowing any youth user to follow whomever they wish. There was also the argument of technical feasibility, for there is no great way on the internet to verify who is a minor and who is not. And many minors do not have government-issued identification. For example, in New York State, you have to be 16 to get a driver's license. And tech companies have expressed concern that they will have to be trying to assess the age of a user, and then also having to assess who is a legal guardian or parent. So that is yet to be worked out. The state attorney general, Letitia James, is obligated to release regulations as to what would be commercially feasible and technically appropriate options for doing age verification. But there's a lot of questions that are going to remain unanswered for several more weeks or months as that process rolls through.
So for the groups that oppose the bill, including the social media companies, are they hoping to work with the state of New York to continue drafting the legislation, or do they just want to scrap it completely? What would they like to see happen here?
We saw a mixture of the two. We saw major tech companies acting through a group called Tech NYC that sent specific bullet points of ways that they wanted to amend and improve the legislation to Governor Hochul and top Democrats as recently as this past week. These groups pushed for lawmakers to drop one provision that would have allowed for a private right of action where a parent or a user could have filed a lawsuit alleging a violation. That was a very big expansion of legal liability that companies expressed lots of concern over. In the end, that provision was dropped from the legislation that was introduced late Monday night and is set to pass this week. At this point, now that the bill has been printed and lawmakers have made the agreement, there's no real chance to change the legislation until the regulations get issued or perhaps in an amendment as things move forward. In many ways, it seems that the voting is all but done. The expectation here in Albany at the state capitol is that at some point in the very near future, Governor Kathy Hochul, who has been a supporter of this legislation, will sign it into law.
That was WSJ reporter Jimmy Vielkind. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by me, Julie Chang, with supervising producer Melanie Roy and deputy editor Scott Salloway. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.